In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening. Please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. I'm chatting today with Felipa Nasil. She's a guitarist in the all-female band Thunder Mother from Sweden. The hard rock group has been active since 2009 and recently released their sixth album, Dirty and Divine. It features our recent coolest song in the world, Dead or Alive. We'll get a taste of that now, and then I'll have Felipa on the line for your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Manfred and Little Stephen's Underground Garage, and it's time to have our coolest conversations. Joining me is Felipa Nasil. She is a guitarist and founding member of the all-female Swedish band Thunder Mother. Their tune Dead or Alive is our coolest song in the world this week, and it's off the new album Dirty and Divine. Hi, Felipa. How are you?
I am very excited to be on this show. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us, and congratulations on the release of the new album Dirty and Divine.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy about it. We've been working on it and we're touring right now with it. So I'm happy.
Excellent. Well, your bio on the your website says your slogan is "We fight for rock and roll" and that it has to be taken literally. So if that's the case, when was the last time you swung a punch for rock and roll?
Well, it depends on what you mean with a punch. I never hit anyone. You know, I'm very kind. I'm a nice girl.
Well, I understand that. I'm a lover, not a fighter myself.
Yeah, you see, we're all good people.
Well, so you're not physically fighting, but what do you mean figuratively when you're fighting for rock and roll?
I mean that Thunder Mother is one of the most touring bands in the world. And especially during the pandemic, we toured a lot, and we were over in the States supporting the Scorpions even afterwards, because the name got out and we were touring so much. So yeah, we just fight for rock and roll.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the Scorpions in a moment. I want to focus some on yourself and your background. Well, where did you grow up?
I grew up in southern Sweden, in Skåne, where I had nothing to do. From a farm, so I was just sitting in a field practicing guitar.
Wow, so do you have any brothers or sisters?
I had two brothers.
And do they play music?
They did, but we're very competitive, so they quit. My brother played piano, so yeah.
One brother played piano, what about the other brother?
He tried the bass, but he stopped and started, doing gaming and stuff like that instead.
Oh, okay.
We're completely the opposite, me and my brothers.
Well, did your parents play instruments, or do they?
Actually, my father is an amateur bass player, and he taught me the acoustic guitar when I was like seven years old or something like that. And right now he's on the tour with me doing our merchandise. That's pretty cool because he's 65.
Wow, that's way cool. So your dad was kind of, you said he's playing bass. Was there a lot of music otherwise in the household? Like, what got you into playing music? You said your father showed you the acoustic guitar when you were about seven. Did you ask him to do that, or did he just think to do that?
No, I asked him because I also want to be able to play whatever and write and sing. I said I want to be an artist when I was already 7, 8. So that was the only thing I was going for. And now I am living the rock star life, kind of. So I'm very happy with it. But I'm at the older, you know, version now. I'm 38, so I'm actually bringing my baby on tour as well. So I'm not so rock and roll as you think.
Oh, well, you're a rock and roll mother.
I am, and she's with me on every gig.
Oh, wow, that's very, very cool. So so I was going to ask if there was like a particular moment, a defining moment that you knew you had it, you wanted to rock, like an event or some sort of thing that occurred. And you mentioned, you know, I asked your dad to show you the guitar because you wanted to do something, but focusing that on or rock and roll being the focus of that, was there any type of moment where you decided you needed to, you saw something or heard something, experienced?
It was pretty weird, but my grandfather passed away, so I was going to play on his funeral when I was around 14 years old. And then I asked this dude to teach me Horse with No Name. You know that song?
Yeah.
And then he started playing like AC/DC stuff in between when I was learning the song for the funeral. And I was like, teach me that! And that was TNT with the AC/DC. So that was way more fun to play that one. And that got me into rock and roll. And I was in the school, you know, Ala. It's in Swedish. I don't know what you call it in American English. But some school band play in my brother's high school. And I saw them play Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name of.
Oh, wow.
And they were just kids. But I was like, I'm going to jump like that and play guitar like that.
And were you, when you were in school, did you ever, you and your schoolmates, did you ever form a band?
I had a few bands, yeah. But, you know, there was a lot of guitar players around, boys in particular. So I always got like the bass position or something, even if I was better at guitar than them. So it feels good today when I finally have the main spot as the lead guitarist and they just, you know, still in my hometown. It feels pretty good.
Well, when did Thunder Mother form?
2009.
And how did the group come together?
Well, I just wanted to form an AC/DC-ish band, you know. And nowadays we're influenced by like a lot of bands. But so I started, you know, reaching out to people where I studied. I was unemployed at the time, had nothing to do. My life sucked. And I was kicked out of my other band. Then on the same evening, I decided to start my own band, playing music that I liked. So I started Thunder Mother.
And so you were the only original member of the band currently, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so I have a band, and we started like back in 1987, and I'm the only person left from that original era. So how does it feel? You know, is there, I mean, because to me, there sometimes there was like yourselves, you know, we had done all sorts of touring, and there's certain memories that over time become tied to that particular version of the band, and something will happen, you remember, oh yeah, and that's kind of funny, but nobody else can really relate to it, you know? So it's just like the old man's telling a story and we have to listen again, you know what I mean? How does that feel going forward?
I think I'm on my third version of Thunder Mother, but you know, we're still growing as a band because the industry is what it is today. And the bass player I have now, my son, in the band, she's actually a returning member. So, because, you know, people come and go a little bit if you're not like huge band. And I feel really proud over the outcome of building Thunder Mother where it is today, you know, keep the play going, even if, you know, I didn't make any money and stuff like that. Because I end up on Little Steven's Garage now. Only that means a lot to me, you know what I mean? It's like the biggest radio station. I feel really honored.
That's right. You know, it's not the late show, but it is happening. It's very happening radio wise. Very happening right
now. Yeah, I'm very excited about it. So yeah. You know.
All right. Well, let's talk some about Dirty and Divine. Sixth album. When and where did you record the album, the new one?
We recorded it 1 year ago in the spring, 2024. And we did it while I was pregnant with my daughter. And we recorded it live and in the studio, playing together without, you know, any copy-paste bullshit, so to say, and just listen to each other and groove. And we did it analog, half analog, because it went in the computer in the end, because you can't, you know, buy any tapes anymore. It's too difficult and expensive. So we did it old school style, and we're very proud with the outcome. And it was only done in 4 days, the whole album.
And so you are the lead guitar player. So when you were doing those leads live, didn't you overdub any of the leads?
I did overdub all the solos and stuff afterwards. So I did went down after the recording, because we were always touring 2 weeks later, and recorded all the solos and the, you know, on top leads, because I play chords when we do it live.
Right. So the live tracks, right, you're playing the rhythm parts. I read that it was produced by Soren Andersen. So who is Soren Andersen?
He is a phenomenal guitar player, and he is playing with Glenn Hughes on his world tour. So he's just fantastic. He's a Danish dude, but he's playing with the big boys, so to say.
Have you ever worked with him before?
Yeah, for 3 albums now. I met him on a party in Stockholm. There was a band playing, and I said, "Who wrote that song? It's fantastic." And he pointed me over the guy in the bar, and that was Søren Andersen. And I said, "You have to produce us." And then he said, "Of course." And I actually own Medley Studios in Copenhagen, a legendary studio where the Cardigans recorded their albums, for example.
Okay. And let me make sure I heard that right. So he owns the studio that they had, the Cardigans had recorded at?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Medley Studios.
Yeah. So what? So you said you've used him for 3 different records. You've worked with him for 3 different records. What is about his production stylings that you enjoy? Well, why keep coming back to Soren?
For me, it means a lot that he's a guitar player, because he can you know, help me with solos. I really think it's fun to write songs. That's my forte. I'm a songwriter, first of all, and then I play guitar as well. But I do play. I have a good tone, if I may say so. But I'm not the fastest one. So he helps me write the solos, and then he is very. He has his own studio, which is great, and he produced DAG from Denmark, Disneyland After Dark. He produced Glenn Hughes' album now, and Mike Tramp, stuff like that. So he has some really good artists in his rooter. And he's a humble guy, and he makes us feel really safe in the studio. That's the most important thing.
Okay, so the new album features our coolest song in the world this week, Dead or Alive. And my notes say that it was written by you, along with your lead singer.
Dead or Alive I wrote with my friend Jimmy Langenfors. Yeah, we've been writing like the rest of the album, me and the lead singer, but that song is written by me and Jimmy.
And so who is Jimmy? Tell us about Jimmy.
He's a good friend of mine that I go on vacation with my fiance and his wife as well. We go on this to Mexico, and so we were at the beach, and I said, "Jimmy, you're a great songwriter. We have to go up and write a song together." And then we went on his porch in Mexico, in Tulum, you know, and we wrote Dead or Alive.
Wow, very cool. Did you come up with any other songs while you guys were on vacation, or this was the one?
Oh, we had like a few demos, yeah.
So another song that I really dig on the album is I Left My License in the Future. I think that was an early single off of the album.
The first one, actually.
Yeah, the first one. Okay. And so who wrote that?
Linnea wrote that with her mom, actually.
And Linnea, that she is your lead singer.
She is our lead singer, yeah. And, you know, you got to write when inspiration comes, right?
Right, right.
Whoever might be close to you, they just have to be on it. So she was in the car with her mom. And her mom said, I'm so bored. We have to write a song. We just had a gig and she was driving back to Stockholm. It was like 4 or 5 hours car ride. And so they wrote I Left My License in the Future in the car because Linnea was on the passenger seat and she doesn't have a license.
How about yourself? Do you have a license?
Yes, I have a license.
All right. A license to drive. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to drive the band.
And what kind of van do you drive?
Well, I drive a Volkswagen. German quality is the best. We play a lot in Germany. We really love our German stuff. It's very close to Sweden as well. 1 hour with the flight to Germany. And there's like 87 million people instead of Sweden, where we have like 9 million people, you know?
Well, I was looking at your tour schedule online. I did see a lot of shows in Germany. And you know, another tune on the album, more seriously focused, is Take the Power, and some of the lyrics in there. Now time to rise and tear down the wall. We will start a revolution, put an end to it all. We're the people, we're the force, no respect, no remorse, fight the fight, take the power. So what revolution are you looking at here? What
it's up to you all to decide whatever you think.
What are you revolting or rebelling against?
The world right now, I guess, with wars going on and walls building, you know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know
what
I mean.
About it.
Yeah.
Trying to make it clear.
Our politics is rock and roll, that's what we say, but we had to write something about the situation today on the album because it's just, we should, you know, be one people, one love, like Bob Marley said. I don't like, USA turning away from Europe. I don't like the war in Palestine, Gaza. I don't like England turning away from EU, you know, with the Brexit stuff. It just makes it harder for us musicians to come and entertain you guys.
Well, that is very true. It's difficult enough.
It is. It was very difficult at the border control this morning.
Oh, right. Oh, so I got
here in Europe. Yeah.
Here in Europe. Well, and so it used to be for us, like we would go abroad, like the going into Europe was always and still is easy, but like going into the UK was just the absolute worst. And then us even dealing with our own border people is just the absolute worst. They are at the top of the list of the pricks.
My dad wasn't happy yesterday because he had to count all the T-shirts for the border, you know, paying taxes or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, years ago, before, here's a quick one. First time we went to Europe was like 1998. And so our peers have been way before that. But so we go to in 98 and there was an English label that made these 10 inches, right? So that was our excuse to finally get to Europe. And that was before the EU. So every time we crossed a border was going back to the new border guards. And so this is like a totally stereotype thing. We're going into Italy. And there's like a dozen guys standing around in border outfits, and we're kind of waved into this parking space, right? And they're coming over, and I'm no exaggeration here. Half the guys they're preening, you know? They're like readjusting their caps, and they're looking at each other and smiling at each other. And I don't remember if they were taking pictures, but they were definitely looking in mirrors and combing their hair and kind of showing off to one another, right? And so now these guys are all doing that. And like two or three guys that walk up to the van and they're taking the passports and they open up the back of the van and they're looking around. They're like, you know, what are you got all these instruments, you got all this merchandise, what's going on? And we show them our itinerary. And so they take a box of the 10 inches and they start dealing them out like cards to all the guards there. And yeah, yeah. And then they're like,
promotion.
Okay, you know, grazie, go on.
Yeah,
so that was
great.
That was the I guess that was the entrance fee we paid. But maybe we got off early. Easy. You know, maybe we got off easy. Okay.
That's good.
So this kind of what you've just described about Take the Power kind of ties in. Well, it's a good juxtaposition with another song that's on the album, American Adrenaline. So you mentioned going in the States with the Scorpions. I was wondering, is that a song that predates you coming to the U.S. and playing with the Scorpions? Or is that, or did you write that after the tour or during the tour? When did you come up with that?
I wrote it after we supported the Scorpions in U.S. When we got back home. And I felt like I have to thank the people that came to our shows and who we met, you know, around U.S. in a song. So that's our little love to the U.S.
And where all did you go? I mean, it was all over the States.
We were, in the big arenas with Scorpions all over the States. We didn't go to Nebraska, but we went to, everywhere there almost. That was in Seattle, the East, West Coast, the South, the Middle. Yeah.
So do you have any, on tour, one day you're driving, or maybe you were on a bus, I'm not sure, but you're seeing the venues mainly. Did you have any day off or anything that, were you able to see any sites actually while you were over here?
Absolutely. And we did have a few of our own shows in between, because the Scorpions are, over 70. So they just play every 4 days. So we had some shows in between, in stops in Austin, for example, in Long Island and stuff like that. And also, I went into Buddy Guy's club in Chicago on my day off to see, blues. And I actually met Buddy Guy in the entrance. So that was phenomenal to see that in Chicago.
Wow.
And we went to Janis Joplin's house in San Francisco and stuff like that. And playing the big arenas, supporting a major band was amazing. Playing at the Forum in LA was a dream come true, where AC/DC and Zeppelin been playing. So it was great. And as I had one day off in New York, where you guys are, so I saw Times Square, I bought a really expensive hot dog, and I went to a dive bar for the rest of the day.
do you recall what dive bar you went to?
If you're standing watching the screens, it was the first row to the right, just down a basement. And it was really cheap beer and this stomachire, how do you say that, regulars.
Oh yeah.
I also went by the Birdland on the left.
Oh wow, that's cool. Well, you've had more fun checking out those sites in New York than I have. Actually, I'm in Los Angeles, and we will play up in New York, but it's generally like getting in there and doing a show, and then having to leave, the same night probably to drive out of town to put us on the road towards the next gig. So I've never actually spent a lot of time just hanging out in New York.
That was a good thing with the hanging out with the Scorpions, because you had time to see stuff.
So when you were traveling, so you mentioned them doing a show every 4 days. So you were traveling separately from them the whole time?
Yeah, we rented a Nightliner.
Okay. Well, so I'm playing with the Scorpions. I also saw that you played like a Kiss cruise.
Yeah, you did your homework.
So we're on the Kiss cruise. Have you ever performed with Kiss?
Yes, on the Kiss cruise and on their pre-party in Miami as well.
Oh, all right. Well, what other rock gods have you been playing with?
DAD, the Danish band. The Scorpions, did I say that? Yeah. Danko Jones, the Canadian dude. Backyard Babies, if you know them, from Sweden. And the Dead Daisies, of course.
Very cool.
With Doug Aldrich and John Corabi from Motley Crue. They have their own band. Whitesnake members and members from Motley Crue.
All right, we're talking about doing tours and shows. Today's 21st. You're playing in Dornbirn in Austria. I see other shows in Europe on your website. You spoke about a lot playing in Germany. Is Germany your favorite country to play in Europe then?
It's the most beneficial. Because we're the biggest in Germany. We sell out clubs with 1,500 people in Germany, which is really good.
Wow. Yeah, that is way cool. So when was the Scorpions thing we've talked about a lot? You know, how long ago was that?
That was back in 2023.
Okay, so not so long ago. Do you think we'll be back in the U.S. this year?
Well, I hope so. I just got my little girl, so it could be difficult, but we really hope so.
So maybe in the fall?
Maybe if you really love Thunder Mother, you should come over to Europe. That would be more safe to say.
Well, all right. We're going to give a listen to another track off of Dirty and Divine. As you were just mentioning, the Kiss influenced one, right? Can't put out the fire, right?
We all sing in this song because that's what Kiss do. So I start singing the song, then our bass player comes over. And then finally, our lead singer will sing.
And did you write this together or did you write the song?
Linnea wrote most of this song together with another friend.
Oh, right. Not her mom, though. They write this one with her mom.
No, she wrote this one with a guy called Chips.
All right. When the chips are down?
Yeah, you know, chips. Like chips and fries or whatever.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, what fuels your rock and roll fire?
Going to a great show, supporting live music, buying a big beer. That fuels me and we're full of energy. And I think you all should go to a rock show or any show very soon.
Absolutely. And with any luck, we're getting a plane and getting over to Europe and checking out some Thunder Mother.
You should. We have American fans doing that. Hi, Rudy. Hi, Keenan. No kidding.
Philippa, thank you so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you so much, Manfred. I loved it. I love you guys. It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, we're going to give a listen now to Can't Put Out the Fire from Thunder Mother off their latest album, Dirty and Divine, in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Mother here in Little Steven's Underground Garage with some of their tune Can't Put Out the Fire off their latest album Dirty and Divine. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's guitarist Philippa Nasil for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza and Kurt Baker for producing and editing. Jimmy Hart is one of rock and roll's great and colorful characters. Best known as a pro wrestling manager, the Mouth of the South, he's worked with the likes of Jerry Lawler to Hulk Hogan to even Andy Kaufman. His music career includes being a member of the Gentrys. They had their biggest hit with Keep On Dancing. And with Jimmy at the helm, he steered the group from the 60s into the 70s, having later hits on Sun Records. Not only did the Gentrys record on Sun, they also recorded for Stax. It's Jimmy Hart, my guest next time around for our Coolest Conversations in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.